Welcome to the SWL Digest, Season 1, Episode 3, where we continue our roundtable with Ian McFarland, Bob Zanotti, and Larry Magne, with one or two special features thrown in. If you find these podcasts interesting, send us a note at info@dxr.ca. I have the advantage of living on the West Coast, which is traditionally known as the fringe area of international broadcasting. And yet, at sunrise on the West Coast of North America, the dial is chock-a-block with signals from South Asia. And not just China, India, Japan, Australia, New Zealand. So further to that, there still is a lot of activity. Interestingly, there are manufacturers in Asia, like Sanjian, that are still making a large catalog of radios that are capable of HF reception, some of them quite sophisticated with synchronous sideband, upper sideband, CW reception, even digital audio broadcasting. So is this something that's going to continue in South Asia, or is just an anomalous trend in one part of the globe? And I'm putting that question to Bob, Ian, and Lawrence. So you guys jump in however as you feel.
Well, let me jump in. Being a radio ham and having been the partner on a basically technical mailbag program, although that wasn't the main job I did at SRI, let me have a few comments. I would listen very carefully to your comments, Larry, and I'd like to put it in a nutshell this way. Pardon me. I think what happened was something that happens very often, and that is when the Berlin Wall came down in 1989, our managements, many of them, got together and said, well, the Cold War is over. What do we do now? And a couple of them had an answer, like the BBC, the World Service, is still on the air. Swiss Radio International didn't. A couple of others didn't. And they said, well, we don't need shortwave anymore because the Cold War is over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can all go home. Well, I remember thinking to myself, and I wasn't the only one. Many colleagues have said the same thing. I believe that Ian was one of them. Anyone who believes that the Cold War is over is a fool. It will be back, but the shortwave will not. They tore it down, raised everything, all of the beautiful technology, the beautiful construction was all destroyed. And now, as Larry intimated, the politicians, some of them wish they had it back, and they don't. Now, there's an interesting thing about human nature and generations in technology. Shortwave is dead, shortwave is dead. Well, one of the people at SRI who was responsible to a large extent for the death of SRI went to a meeting hosted by the BBC years ago, and the BBC said, oh, shortwave is dead, forget it. And he came running back to Byrne and saying, shortwave is dead. The BBC says so. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Well, they said, okay, the almighty BBC is never wrong, so we'll close the station. This is an oversimplification, but to a large extent, it's true. I could speculate here, and I've put this to BBC personnel who say, sounds typical. I often think that it was a tactic by the BBC to remove the competition. Who's left on shortwave? The BBC. Okay, we move on to other things. The technology is still viable. Digital Radio Mondial, this digital FM quality on shortwave, it's fantastic. I've heard demonstrations. We heard a couple of times Kim Andrew Elliott, then of the Voice of America, came by at our conventions and actually played examples right off the air. Vatican Radio is still doing it, a few others. They're experimenting, and the quality is absolutely superb FM quality. So the argument that the quality is bad is not viable. Beside that, and I think we as experienced SWLs and DXs, and certainly as a radio ham, it's often been said, and I agree with it, that people who listen to shortwave radio are very tolerant. They are dedicated listeners. They're more concerned about the content, the message, than they are about the quality. So I wouldn't put the quality, the audio quality, too high in the mix of factors. I think it's possible. I hope it's not wishful thinking or daydreaming. But it is possible that, to get back to my thought a few moments ago, a new generation will come, the generation that killed shortwave and went digital. Digital is the way. Digital is the way. Like religious fanatics, there's only one way, digital. Well, there are other ways to get there as well. And maybe the same generation that never heard of shortwave, never heard of international broadcasting, some bright guy might get wind of it and say, hey, I've heard about a fantastic idea. Do you know that you can be anywhere in the world without the internet and actually be able to hear people talking to you from the other side of the world without cables, without satellites? No, tell me more. Well, they used to call it short wave. Short what? Short wave. And maybe, well, we have rediscovered the wheel, reinvented the wheel, and maybe shortwave might make a comeback. Wishful thinking? Could well be, but I certainly hope it happens.
Well, you never
know. I have to tell you, and what you just said is very interesting, because that's what we did with Passport to World Band Radio. In the early to mid 80s, shortwave was pretty much a forgotten thing in the United States and much of the Western world. And we did exactly what you're talking about. We reinvented the wheel, and it pushed us right into success, because people said just what you said, you know, gee, this is amazing. We didn't know you could do that.
Well, in the minds of some people, the Cold War may be over, but perhaps it isn't over. It's just wearing a different suit.
Well put.
Well, even the politicians are saying openly, the world, we have a new Cold War. I mean, it's been spoken of openly, and I only know what I see, and actions speak louder than words. I don't see any signs of the end of the Cold War. I don't see much change. Maybe the labels have changed, as you say.
Yeah.
But in effect, it's still the East versus the West. It's not a question of capitalism versus capitalism, because Vladimir Putin is one of the world's biggest capitalists, and his entourage of fellows, of cronies, they're all made themselves billionaires. So they're pretty well in the capitalist camp. But in terms of emotion, and this is something which has to be understood, this is a very emotional issue. It's not capitalism versus communism anymore. It's the West versus the East, and Putin's grandiose notion of the rebirth of the great Soviet Union,
yes,
under his control, of course. You know, that's obvious. And this is what it's all about. And he will not let anyone stand in his way. He's a very dangerous man. And the stakes are just as dangerous as they were during the real traditional Cold War. In fact, I've heard it said by many observers and historians and politicians that there was more security and stability during the Cold War than there is today, because there were gentlemen's agreements, people understood the rules of the game and abided by them. But as they always say, A gentleman's agreement presupposes the presence of a gentleman. Where are the gentlemen? We don't see many today.
You guys make a lot of great points, and I see this. My Zoom is nagging me again. You've got 10 minutes. Well, I can say a lot in 10 minutes. So it seems like as much as things change, they don't change at all. And I'm just sort of having a quick look at one of the popular SWL blogs that will remain nameless for a moment, reviewing the shortwave receivers that are available in the year 2025. Names like C-Crane, Eaton, Sanjian, Texan, and XH Data out of China. I've had the good fortune of having one of these companies regularly send me new offerings and products in beta testing, and it seems for some strange reason there's no end in sight to little enhancements to technology to improve medium wave, short wave, long wave, not so much long wave and FM reception. Anyway, that's the subject for another episode. And Ian, you have a couple of questions and directions you'd like to take us in before we close out this particular segment. So jump right in.
What we're doing, Larry, is your bit, your chat, to go into the second part of our two-part blog.
So you're talking about the future of international broadcasting?
Yeah, it's going to be a very condensed version of what we just did.
And we'll mark that. This is our sidebar with Larry. Larry Magny was a longtime part of the SWL Digest team. In fact, the resident expert on shortwave receivers. Welcome to the SWL Digest 2025 and our trip down nostalgia lane.
Thank you, Colin.
Well, Larry, I'm sure like me, you probably are wishing that the technology that we're using right now to record this session with you and Bob Zanotti was available back when we were doing shortwave radio reviews on the Digest. It was night and day different.
It was, but it was also challenging and in some ways enjoyable. But of course, we were younger and more foolish back then. We got tired, as you well recall, of using copper wire telephones to produce telephone quality audio for poor long-suffering RCI. So you came down here and we got rented a station studio, and that didn't turn out too well. So I said, well, let's go back to the mother load. So I drove up to Montreal. We went to the Maison and sat in your studio and did it there, and that was great, except it was the middle of winter, and I felt like I was Nanook of the North. It was not something either of us particularly wanted to repeat in either direction, so we made do with the only technology that was practically available, which was copper wires, and we use good mics, but still you were using
the telephone line.
Our technology.
Well, what we did end up with, Larry, was not bad considering what we were using.
Yeah. I'm reminded, Ian, of the giant collection of Passport to World Band Radio that you bequeathed to me. You know, Larry, over the years, you've reviewed hundreds and hundreds of receivers, from modest units, tabletops, to downright cheapies. What's the story behind all of that?
Yeah, and things haven't changed that much. You have digital receivers now, but most of what you were just, I believe, mentioning earlier in the last segment, the companies, Chinese, Taiwanese, and so forth, that are still making shortwave radios, most of those are really not materially different from what we recall back then. Because there's a very simple reason: it works and it's cheap. And there are hundreds of millions of these radios still out there. Plus, again, they're available for sale, and the ones for sale tend to be better than the ones that used to be around because people who buy now are willing to spend more.
Yeah.
So even if you just stuck up normal shortwave like in the old days, you'd have an audience, and it's in the hundreds of millions.
I would imagine that with the proliferation of the personal computer, listening to shortwave stations minus the static on the websites, and governments just simply lost interest in shortwave as a broadcast medium. Would you comment on that?
Yeah, they complement each other. The days of shortwave being, for example, I was born in the British West Indies, and my grandfather used to love to listen to the Empire Service, and it was just god-awful stuff, but yeah, you could hardly make out a word of what they were saying because of the technology. And it was really essential. Now, of course, you've got so much, you drown in choice. But the international broadcasting is then really now it's a more of a niche, a specialty. And that's why I like to stick to the term international broadcasting, because we're trying to get content through the places where content of this sort is not wanted. So that means you have to go through, in China, for example, they jam broadcasts, and on the internet, they have what's called the Great Firewall of China. And they do everything they can to keep information under control. Same thing you mentioned, Bob, earlier about the Russia. And to get around that, shortwave is uniquely helpful because it uses the ionosphere, which is like this giant natural hand over the target zone. It pushes your signal in for you. And it's not something you want to listen to because of entertainment. You can get on the internet, you get all the entertainment you want. But if you want to hear points of view or news that are being kept from you, shortwave is uniquely effective.
So I have in my hand a radio that I bought recently for the purposes of testing that fits in the palm of my hand. It's a communications receiver. It receives long wave, short wave, medium wave, FM, all mode, upper sideband, lower sideband, CW. It's astounding. This is in the year 2025. So I ask, Ian, where are we headed with this technology? If, in fact, shortwave is on its ultimate decline, and yet here we are, we have this amazing technology that far surpasses any radio equipment we had 25 and 35 years ago.
The next stage, I think, is putting it into an Apple Watch.
Ah!
They put a computer into an Apple Watch, so there's no reason they can't put something like that receiver in.
We often talk about the technology that we wished we had years ago. And on Lower Vancouver Island, we do have a circle of radio enthusiasts that get together quite frequently. And we take for granted that it was only 35 or 40 years ago that digital readout was something that none of us had. And now we're resolving signals down to a fraction of a hertz and identifying stations, medium wave DXing, medium wave stations by their offset. Once again, Ian, where are we going?
Well, I don't know, but I'm sure Larry has a few thoughts on that. And Larry, I get the feeling that, I guess over the last decade or two, we saw the gradual end of the golden age of shortwave that we both enjoyed over the run of the SWL Digest. And I would imagine that the proliferation of personal computers listening to shortwave stations minus the static on their websites, and perhaps governments just simply lost interest in shortwave as a broadcasting medium. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right about the latter part, the governments losing interest. We went through that in the last segment, and I think it'll come back, but in modern form, and this radio Colin showed is exemplifying that. That spit and polishes a lot of what's going to become available in future years. Right now, we can get a fair number of radios that are like we knew 20, 30 years ago. They're still being sold. But something like this is using digital technology to great advantage. It improves performance and shrinks the size and ultimately reduces the cost. And you add that to the fact people are ready to rediscover shortwave because it's been away long enough. I think, you know, this is going to bode well for the future.
That's interesting. So you genuinely have a feeling that we're not completely done with this medium.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Because it does something nothing else can. It uses nature's ionosphere to deliver the signal. And the ionosphere covers the globe. So it winds up working for us in ways that we can't, well, very difficult for us to do. We can send up satellites, but it's much more difficult to put up a satellite to do this. It's much farther away from Earth. It's huge. It requires all this power. But yeah, satellites can work, but the ionosphere gets us past some of the jamming. And that's very important because, as we were discussing earlier, we're talking now the continuation of the Cold War in a new suit. And so the same problems we had before are going to emerge again. And the panaceas that have been talked about, the internet getting through, FM rebroadcasting, it just simply haven't gone anywhere, not much anyway. And so shortwave is once again showing up as a potential replacement. There's something else too. With satellites, we can beam to get around jamming. We can beam a number of satellites, low orbit satellites, around a target area. And it makes it very difficult to jam because you're shooting in from 360 degrees, maybe six or seven satellites in there. And it doesn't necessarily use shortwave, it may use something else, but it's one of the ways we haven't researched, but I think can be useful to get us around jamming, which, as we get back into soft foreign policy power and resurrect international broadcasting, I think those are the kinds of innovations we need to look at, things we haven't even talked about that could use satellites, airplanes, ships. You know, we the whole gamut of possibilities lies before us. And, you know, hopefully we'll take advantage of that in the day, in the years to come after the present what we call poker game with the chief officials. Once that approach goes past its zenith.
Well, you know
Can
what they
I
say,
break in
Larry?
for a second with a.
Absolutely. Bob Zanotti, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I've been listening very attentively here. Quite interesting.
I just want to say I'm glad to have you come in, Bob, because I like the idea of a free-flowing conversation. Because my gosh, we're talking about free flow of information over the air,
That's ironic.
right? Okay.
No, well, of course, I don't have what's it called? The storyline here. The play, what do they call it? Anyway, I didn't know whether it was open or not. I just wanted to mention something that's come up. You mentioned ships. Remember the USS Courier?
No.
The American ship in during the Cold War that was outfitted on a US Navy ship.
Oh,
They had
yeah.
short wave, medium wave, and they went,
Yeah.
they it was very portable. You mentioned this a couple of times. And I thought that maybe you forgot it, and I just wanted to feed that back to you,
I appreciate that.
that you could maybe want to bring it up in your own way. It existed, and I don't know what happened to the ship. Also, there was that ship in the Middle East, the Radio for Peace.
Right.
Remember that? It was sunk, I think, by the Israeli Navy, but. Yeah, I mean that idea has been around a very long time. That's all I wanted to say, and you can cut me out. I just wanted to
Never.
remind Larry in case he forgot.
No, I think that's a very good point that is with many supposedly new ideas, really all they are is a rebirth of what happened before.
That's awesome, gentlemen. I'm going to pass it back over to Ian
I'm just
for,
going to wrap up
yeah, with some
the topic
wrap-up
now.
comments. And just to reassure everybody, I do a lot of editing, literally down to the millisecond on some of these files to get rid of ums and haws and syllables that are in the wrong place, etc., because we're all guilty of that. So you'll get to hear sort of what I sense will be a rough cut in a few days before we move on to the next phase of this operation. So back to you, Ian McFarland.
Well, you know what they say, Larry? What goes around comes around, and maybe that'll apply to short wave.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll come around, but it will be, it's like in architecture. You see, they say, well, we're going to go back to classical architecture, but it's different. And they give it a new twist. And the same thing is going to be true here. I really think it has a sporting chance of coming back, but we have to get past this period in foreign policy before it has a chance. Because right now, it's completely lost in the flaring spotlight of government chiefs getting together and deciding fate of the world, almost like in Queen Victoria's time.
Well, that's a nice positive note to end on, Larry. And I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on our trip down Nostalgia Lane on SWL Digest 2025.
Yes, thanks to you guys. That's from the radio listener perspective. That was very interesting. And I hope to talk to you all soon. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Lawrence. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. It was really nice to get together after all these years. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. Well, at least part of it.
Yeah, Bob even sounds as good as he did back in the day.
I couldn't have told you any different if he'd said this is an air check from 35 years ago.
Isn't that
Sounds
something?
exactly the same.
You've been listening to the SWL Digest, Season 1, Episode 3. If you're interested in hearing more episodes like this, we'd appreciate your feedback. Our email is info@dxr.ca. info@dxr.ca. Thank you for listening.